Next week, state lawmakers plan to take up 6 bills from last year's General Assembly session that Governor Larry Hogan vetoed. One of them would restore voting rights to people with felony convictions as soon as they are released from prison. WYPR's Rachel Bay heard from some of the ex-offenders who could benefit if lawmakers override the governor's veto.
Override!
Override!
That veto!
That veto!
Criminal justice activists and former felons rallied on the steps of the Statehouse Thursday. The group used a familiar phrase to describe the denial of voting rights for released felons: taxation without representation.
This country was founded on this principle: taxation with representation. You'll take my taxes, but you won't accept my vote.
That's Perry Hopkins, a field organizer with the group Communities United and a former felon.
I'm 54 years old. I've never been in a voter's booth as a result of this law and a long life of crime. I've been home this time since 2012.
Hogan vetoed the bill restoring felons' voting rights last spring. He points to the state's existing law, which gives ex-offenders the right to vote once they've completed their parole or probation. He says that until that point, felons are still repaying their debt to society. Spokesman for the governor, Matt Clark.
When the governor issued his veto, he said in the letter to legislators that there are a number of rights that felons who are still serving their sentence aren't entitled to, including things like buying guns, serving on a jury, and the right to vote. We're selecting one right to restore and not necessarily addressing the others.
Speaking at an event earlier this week, House Speaker Michael Bush said restoring felons' right to vote helps keep people from becoming repeat offenders. Several studies seem to back this up. They show a correlation between giving felons the right to vote and reduced rates of recidivism. But that's an argument that the governor's office says has not been made so far. Again, spokesman Matt Clark.
If folks are talking about public safety, this would be the first time that that's been made part of the discussion.
Public safety aside, Baltimore City Delegate Corey McRae, one of the bill's sponsors, says Hogan's veto disenfranchised more than 40,000 Marylanders, disproportionately affecting minority voters.
With elections decided so close in margins, we had an election when I got elected, 3 votes. Election was decided by 3 votes. In West Baltimore County, election decided by less than 56 votes. How are we leaving 43,000 people out of the conversation?
Etta Myers, another former felon who spoke Thursday, says the right to vote would give her the ability to advocate for herself.
I was locked up for 40 years and I've never voted. I've never had the right. Having the right to vote is a form of power. For us to make any kind of difference in the way we live, from employment to housing, the right to vote would mean everything.
Myers says she hopes to vote for the first time in April for the primary election. But that may not be possible for many former felons. Even if the legislature overrides Hogan's veto before the end of the session, there would be 30 days before the new law would allow ex-offenders to register. Bush says he expects to have the necessary votes to overturn the veto in the House. However, Senate President Mike Miller is less certain.
If the veto is not overridden, then it's going to be the first order of business within 2 weeks to introduce a bill with modified changes, eliminating some of the objections that members find with the bill.
The legislature needs support from 2/3 of its members to override the veto. I'm Rachel Bay in Annapolis for 88.1 WYPR.